about a brand new book she's launched called The Pain of Suicide. Dave P very kind to that interview for us, so we're going to hear that interview right now.
Good morning, or good day, or good afternoon. Welcome to Eugene Jams. And of course, it's Dave P here. You know what's happening with this, the climate these days. We talk about depression, suicide, a lot of things that's going on in people's lives these days. There's this wonderful book, and it's called The Pain of Suicide. The Pain of Suicide, that is a correct title. And it's written by, of course, Dr. Joanne Rowland. And it's... I want you to listen very carefully. Get your friends gathered around the radio or whatever. If you're going to be on the podcast, just make sure you rewind this interview, because you're going to really like take some things from it and maybe recognize what's going on, maybe with yourself or some of your friends, and so to speak. Good day to you, Dr. Joanne Rowland. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Dave. Thank you for having me on this morning.
You know what, it is a pleasure, our pleasure really, because this is such a wonderful thing you're doing. I mean, a lot of people shy away from this sort of subject, but it seems like you're not one to shy away from anything like this, concerning this wonderful book you've written. Tell me, I mean, you know, the normal question would be why. Yeah, but is it something you've always looked at through your life, and you know what people?
No, yeah? No, not at all.
Oh, really?
No. Oh. It's, all right. I think where I need to start is that suicide is something that concerns a lot of people, and maybe it may not be directly related to you, but you may have heard of someone who's committed suicide, or at least attempted. I have not always thought about it. The reason I got involved with it at this level was because I visited Guyana a few years back, in 2012 to be exact, and there was this phenomenon which was occurring, and it took me by surprise because I couldn't understand why in a small nation like Guyana, so many people were committing suicide. So I really wanted to know what the causes of suicide were, and obviously the consequences. So it's from that that triggers my interest in why people do what they do in this way.
I like the, there's a statement here in the press release where it says, as suicide rates continue to rise, this timely and important book is an experiment. Well, experienced counsellor examines the phenomenon of suicide with the aim of preventing needless tragic death in the future. And we I think we open up right, because there are a lot of people who go through this have the sort of suicidal thoughts, you know. And I have to be very clear, and because, you know, I can't just say I've had that before. I've been there as well, so I can relate to that. And I know how to say it, you know, and I'm sure other people have as well. And you get sort of in depression, and that's where it happens, you know, because of, I think it's to do with a lot of work or financial or that breakup in relationships, or a number of things, a number of factors could be getting you down that dark road. Tell me something. Can I say doctor or dad? Just say, I don't know, with Joe.
Please call me Joanne.
I say, so tell me something, Joanne, because I guess you would have seen and done a lot of research on this. Were you surprised? Were you, did you get emotional when you heard certain stories going on in people's lives? How were you?
Yes, how am I? Well, suicide in itself is a very painful subject for anyone to deal with. And what the surrounding correlates to it, also are very difficult things for people to deal with, like the suicide attempts. I have been a counsellor for over 30 years, and people have been coming in with lots of mental health issues, which I've dealt with. I've dealt with people having suicide ideation, which is really suicidal thoughts. And, you know, having to listen to them, to hear where they're coming from, it's not easy to understand why they've moved from the thinking to the actual doing. And my role is really to prevent the doing. So in engaging with them, I have spent trying to get underneath what the real problems are. And I think that's the key thing, and the book brings that out. It's the key thing in any discussion with somebody who's having suicide ideation, is that you spend time to understand the background, the deep things, where it's coming from. And the book would explain a lot of the technical side of it. But for me, listening to someone, understanding the pain, knowing what has been going on in their lives, I think that's the first stage, getting to know what has created that depression, maybe, or it doesn't always have to be depression, you know, because some people think that, you know, suicide is just linked to depression. No, it's linked to a number of other aspects of life. There are a lot of psychosocial issues, a lot of other things which are involved. For example, it may be a history in the family of depression or mental illness, which would be maybe bipolar, schizophrenia, all lots of other mental illnesses. But you have, what I've discovered, some spontaneous reactions which have generated suicide, which have caused suicide. For example, kids are not being understood, and they can't deal with the pressures maybe of... if it's coming from the parents, if it's coming through social media, they can't deal with it and they just resort to that. So there are a number of things. For me, what I will say, suicide is a very individualistic occurrence. It's as diverse as there are people. And for me, that's what's important. We need to understand people. We need to understand what's making them tick and what's going on for them.
I like the fact that it's not just the book is not just geared towards Christians, okay? It's very well for everybody, really. At the end of the day, do you know what the percentage is, when it comes to either men, women, and also young people? Do you know what that is?
I don't know the exact percentage, but what I do know is that there are a lot more men, actually my book does talk about that, a lot more men who are committing suicide than women. I think when I did some research back in Guyana, it was coming up to about maybe four times more men than women who are committing suicide. But you rarely hear this because the women, for some reason, because of domestic abuse and other things, that comes to the forefront most times. But there are men who are really suffering in this area with suicide ideation and who are committing suicide because of various reasons. Some of them, I've just read an article on the BBC in Kenya, when they're looking at a particular county in Kenya, where it's a small area, but 70 men have committed suicide in a small time frame. So a lot of men are committing suicide, much more than women. And it's usually men in the area of about 25 to about 40, 44, which is a very key age. You know, that's the working age, and that's affecting economies across the world. So, yes, men are really struggling because they're not getting the voice as much as I believe women are. I think this is something that needs to be addressed.
Can I look at this at a Christian point of view as well? Because, you know, you look at some of our organisations or some of our churches right now, and it seems to be down to, some could say it's very demonic. Okay, that's another issue. And also they don't know how to tackle it. Well, some don't know how to tackle this kind of thing within the church circles. They don't know how to do it. What do you have to say to that?
I think it's important that every church leader is involved with the issue, in understanding the issue of suicide. I think it's very important. It's we can say it's demonic, we can say it's all those things, but unless we tackle the real issue, which is going on to that person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless we get beyond looking at the spiritual issues and look at other surrounding areas of that person's lives, we may miss things. We will miss things. So it's important for church leaders, because another thing, Dave, church leaders are committing suicide. And that is something which you're probably not hearing a lot.
Yeah, I do hear that sometimes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's like not only non-Christians who are, but Christians are. And my book has pointed that out. I've dealt with, in particular, Hindus.
Yeah.
But a lot of Christians are committing suicide. Mm-hmm. And we need to know that it's not just to do with their spiritual life. There's more underneath that needs to be dealt
with. Well, I would say that as well, because I agree with you on that one. And I think it's down to the amount of work you're doing or what you're listening to, and you're not getting the sort of, how should I put it, you're not getting the encouragement, because, you know, a lot of people look up to church leaders as well in terms of for a number of things, but are they being fed? You know what I mean? This is another thing. Do they go to someone to talk to? And because they're a church leader, do I really need to go there to see someone anyway? And then I think it boils down to being a human being. So I think each and every single individual should really seek some help, because we are human beings after all. You know?
Totally agree with that. I think every pastor must have a mentor or somebody that they can engage with, can really share what's going on with them, because leading is not always an easy task, and they must be, you know, leaders must have somebody that they can share what's going on for them with that in their lives. They must be able to do that. It's very key, especially when we look at the amount of people, especially we hear in America.
Yes.
How many pastors have committed suicide? But it's important that globally, leaders, Christian leaders, whether they're pastors, evangelists, whoever they are, they must be able to relate. They have somebody that they can share what's going on in their own personal lives. Because, as you quite rightly say, we do have issues, personal issues, which are affecting us. We have families, we have things, we have some of us have children, which you know, can be a challenge. Yes, we give these things to God, because I've been a Christian from since I was 7 years old.
Yes.
I understand the Christian world very well.
Yeah.
But you know, it's I need to have somebody that I can share what's going on with me, that I can trust.
It's not true. And sometimes that could be very, hard to find someone you could trust, really, because, you know, it depends on the state of mind as well. Whether it can handle that conversation, you know, and handle what you have to say to them. Tell me, because I know you probably didn't go down the road of sitting out to writing this book, okay? And since you've written the book, because I remember seeing a video on Facebook Live, okay? And I think it was your son. Because I think when he came to the property, he was so like, Jonathan, he was so like, please, when you opened it and your books were right in front of you. Just tell me, John, because you know what, the thing is, when it's something you own and you've written something, because this is your journey now, how did you feel as that person holding this wonderful item in your hand, and you know it's yours, written by you?
Oh, I can tell you, it was a marvellous feeling.
Yeah.
I'll share something with you.
Yeah.
I did write some years and years ago, and I didn't get it published. I didn't go as far as getting my work published. And I've been writing different things since. I've had some work published in the medical journal, I think it was last year or the year before. Some work I've done on health issues. But this particular one, I really engaged with it, simply because I know how important the topic was and is, because we're in a time when suicide, we need to bring an end to it. We need to bring, and I'm hoping that what I've written will be able to help people to understand how people are suffering. And I've not just dealt with the people who are attempting suicide, but I've looked at the family member survivors, those who are left behind.
Yeah.
People who have committed suicide, they've gone on, And but what has happened is that pain has been transferred to the people who are left behind. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who are suffering as well. So I, in writing it, and the joy that you probably saw in that video, was the opportunity to be able to get somebody to read it and to work towards mitigating suicide, because that's my ultimate aim, to bring an end to suicide.
You know, it makes me feel proud, because you know, when I saw the video, and I feel like how a son would feel for the mother, because you know, when I speak to my mum, and I know we're straight off the subject, because this is different actually, because my mum could really do some really good stuff in terms of cooking, and but there's one thing she does very well, which is really amazing, and she never writes down the recipe. So it's really hot pepper sauce, so I can't understand the generation why they're like, oh, I just know it. Well, mum, you need to write it down. You're going to be in your 70s now, so come on, you might be a world seller. Oh, I'd be all right, but you know, when you see your mother do something, and then you know, I could understand Jonathan. His face, it's golden. It's like he just came down from Mount Sinai, and he just got this wonderful thing here to deliver, and it's yours. But you know what? I really have to commend you, because you're just incredible, yet so humble as well at the same time, because you've done a lot of things.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? So what do you hope to achieve in terms of with the book concerning, you know, well, I guess it's about mental health for, I would say, human race, you know, male and female. Yeah.
I think I really want to raise awareness in terms of the issue of mental health. And it's so important that we look after our own individual mental health. We know what's going on for us personally. We must not be afraid to share any issues which, you know, are really concerning to us, with people we can trust. We can sit down and engage and really be honest, transparent with what's happening. And very often that's difficult to do, as you pointed out earlier on. But I think that's very important that we learn to do that. My other aim is to allow parents and school teachers, the whole school environment, university, the academic side, to be mindful of behaviours of students, to watch behaviour patterns, to watch changes in behaviour patterns, things which, you know, can trigger suicide attempts, to just be aware of what can cause a student to, or a child, to move from being the person that they're accustomed to this person who's attempting to end their lives. So it's just that awareness, general awareness, for all kind of academic institutions, the churches as well, our communities, and, you know, need to be truly having a conversation where we're thinking about healthy lifestyles, healthy way of living, looking at people that we may think they seem all right, because as Christians, you know, Dave, we wear masks very often. We put a mask on, and we need to be able to get behind the mask. So we must have people who are trained to do that, counsellors who are ready and waiting when people come into the church with an issue, to be able to deal with those issues. So these are some of the things that I'm really hoping that this book will encourage people to start doing, to help people to boost their self-esteem, their self-confidence, and, you know, very importantly, to value life. Life is so important. God has given it to us. And we need to treasure it. And it's not something we take lightly, that we bring an end to it because of what's going on. So we need to be aware of that and help people to become more aware of that.
You know, I just want to get this across to some people, because they may be listening to you right now. I said, yeah, she's a Dr. Joanne Rowland and stuff like that, but really, who is she? What has she really done? If you bear with me for a little while, because I want the listeners to hear this very carefully, because it's not every day you get to hear something like this, and you could be celebrating this lady, celebrating your mother, anybody doing this. And he says, in terms of your career, you have worked mainly in the computer industry and business, finance environment. Additionally, Joanne is an educational trainer, accountant, life coach. You know what? Your list goes on, you know. It goes really on. I'm trying to picture this image, you know. I am, because the amount of work you've done and where you are right now, okay, the journey, it's an incredible journey that God has given you. It really is indeed. So is there any more coming? I know you've probably probably written the next three books already. I don't know. You probably have. I don't know.
It's funny you should say that.
Yeah.
I'm actually working on three or four things at the moment.
Oh, you see?
That's going to come up pretty soon, I'm hoping.
So you see, this is what I'm talking about. I get to think you don't even know what rest is. You just continue, really, don't you?
Well, life is very short, you know, Dave.
Yes, it is.
If God has called you to do something,
mm-hmm.
it's not time to mess around. You just get on and do it. Do it. I don't see this working now. I really don't. I enjoy what I do so much. It's a case where I just get on and do what I have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I love people. I really do love people. And I hate when people are hurting. That is my thing. Oh, I do not like when people are hurting.
Oh.
And I think God has given me that sort of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
I prayed for it one time when I was in church years and years ago. And one of us say, be careful if you're praying for compassion, because God, when he gives it to you, it opens up a lot of doors for you to get involved in people's lives.
Now I know why, because you just explained something to me, right? Now I understand why I'm always connected with people, because I'm always friendly with people. I could go anywhere and just talk to anybody, really. And I always wondered, why am I like that? But now I know. Because when you ask God for something, just let me to do what I need to do. Thank you. Just give me this gift. And he gave it to me, so I'm all right with that. But let's one more time about the book now, because... before we do that, I would like you to, if possible, for about 1 minute or 1 minute and a half, to encourage, if you can, those who may be feeling, you know, a bit uncertain about their lives in terms of what's going on and where they need to be. Obviously, you can't tell them that, but still, like, then they, you know, if you can encourage our female and male listeners, anyway, if you can do, you know, just listen to Eugene Jams about their, the direction they need to take if you're feeling really low or depressed or anything like that. Okay? If you don't mind.
No, I don't mind. Sorry, I cleared my throat there, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't really mind doing that, because I strongly believe that God has given each of us a path that we must be able to trust him to be with us as we walk down that path. Yes, along that path, there are going to be lots of challenges. But the important thing to know is that he is with us all the time. We are going to go through some challenges so that we can get to the next step up. Whatever we go through, it's not usually only for us. It's to help someone else. And if we have that confidence as we go through it, believing and trusting God on the journey and with the journey, that at the end of it, we will be better than when we started. That as we go through it, if we keep our eyes, you know, Peter only sang when he came out of the boat and took his eyes off of Jesus. But when we keep our eyes on him, when we really believe that he is with us and taken us through, we are going to get to the other side. We just need to keep our eyes focused on him. And as we go through, we have to learn to be our brother's keepers as well. Our lives are not just about ourselves. Our lives are about other people who we get in contact with. And we must always look for opportunities to be a blessing. Some of us may be going through some very difficult situations now, and it feels as though there is no way out. We feel helpless, hopeless, and that, you know, we can't see through the darkness. But there is a light to the end. There is a light. We just have to keep pushing through. We have to look, maybe if we need help somewhere, to go get that help. Find the help from someone else as an encourager, somebody who will be able to sit with you and to just to be there for you, to just listen to you and to help you to get through, but keeping still that focus that God is the ultimate counselor for our lives. I really think that everything that we go through, everything, regardless of what it is, how dark and how dull, how good, how excellent, God is a part of all of that. And we need to remember that at all times. Never give up. Keep trusting. Never give up. My motto has always been, never quit. I always think, if I'm going to quit now, maybe it's just the other side of this moment when I'll get my victory. So I'm just wanting to encourage you to see it. Maybe giving up now, you've just missed out on something which could have been such a great thing, such a powerful thing for you. So don't give up. Just keep going. Keep trusting God that He's going to take you through. And just don't be afraid to reach out to others who will have an opportunity to share in your journey. And you will be a blessing to them also.
I hope
that really helps.
You know, I'm listening to you, and what comes to mind, well, I have to say thank you so much for that, and I'm sure listeners appreciate that. But I'm listening to you, and what comes to mind, you have a beautiful gift, you know, very pleasing to the heart, very pleasing to the ear, because, you know, I can imagine people being pulled in, because I'm listening, I'm going, wow, I hear you. I need to hear this today. So I have to really say I appreciate you. I really do. And I can feel the compassion, you know. And at the same time also I could just feel the love, the whole thing you have for people at the end of the day, which is really amazing. And some people just do things for the sake of doing it without any compassion at all, because I've written a book. Yeah, I've just written it really because I wanted to. So there you go. But I can feel the sincerity in your heart coming from you. It's just amazing. It really is. You really have touched me today. You really have. You really have indeed. One more time, if you can sort of like talk about your book one more time. The title of your book is The Pain of Suicide, and it's called some. I can't pronounce that. You know,
okay.
It's one of those words for my dyslexia, which I can't even get around. So I'll have that try. So you can do that.
I will do that. It's the phenomenological approach. Mm. All that means it's based on phenomenons, things which are happening outside of the normal, which we will perceive as that. It's a phenomenological approach to understanding why. We need to know why people are doing this. And that's what the book is about. It helps you to get at the causes and, more importantly, the consequences. I've actually got in there a suicide that took place that I was able to be with the family literally minutes after it happened. So it explains that in one of the chapters. And I'm hoping that will give people an idea of what some people go through. But importantly, the ultimate thing is for us to work towards mitigating suicides.
Mm-hmm. So it's out Monday? Which of course
it's out tomorrow.
Is that tomorrow? Yeah. Oh, it's out tomorrow being the second, yeah. Out tomorrow the second, yeah?
Yeah.
Beg your pardon, it's out on the second. All right, and is there a website, is there a Facebook page, anything like that, or
the book is on Amazon.
Okay,
also, it can be gotten from Waterstones and some other bookstores.
Fantastic.
And I have some copies if people want them signed, but they will have to let me know ASAP. I only have a limited amount.
Okay.
I would encourage people to just get the book. Mm-hmm. See how you feel about it, share it with other people. Importantly, look after one another.
I think it's going to be a good exercise tool as well, you know, to look as a point to making reference is to the book anyway. I think it's a good thing. So it'd be like a guide, if you know.
It is a guide.
Yes.
It's a lot of research in there.
Excellent.
Very clear research in there. But it's one that people can refer to, but I really want it to touch, you know, people who are not deeply academic, mm-hmm. as well as the people who are in academia. I really want that to be just open for people to just feel that I can work with this book.
Mm-hmm.
They can probably see themselves or see someone else in it. and to look and especially the interventions, how they can get some help for other people.
Thank you so much. To those of you listening to Eugene Jams, we will post more information on our Facebook and Twitter page and also on our website. So you can hear about, of course, Dr. John Rowland, beg your pardon, today at some point on Eugene Jams. Thank you. Appreciate you so much. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you.
Hi.